Praise God. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Psalm 71, we're continuing our series this morning, Faith Undaunted. And it's a series that God gave to me last March and April in 2016, saying this is for me. And I said, God, I'm not going through anything. Little did I know that it would just be a few months later that I would be diagnosed with stage 3 cancer. But these messages ministered to me then. They're ministering to me even more now. And I pray that they'll minister to you as well. Faith Undaunted, today's message is titled Hope in the Midst of Despair. Hope in the Midst of Despair. William Cowper, an English poet, hymn writer, and classic Christian author, originated the popular saying, variety is the spice of life. How many of you have ever used that saying or heard that saying? Amen. And we all like variety. That's why people like to go to buffets. Not me so much, but people like to go to buffets because they have a smorgasbord of items to choose from. Routines can become monotonous. They can become stale and stagnant. We like to mix things up. We crave diversity in our lives. But sometimes changes can be filled with joy and excitement. And at other times, they can bring fear, anxiety, and worry. Sometimes change can shake us up. It can throw us for a loop. It can knock us off of our feet. For instance, and I know this only too well, we go to the doctor for a routine checkup. And before you know it, they're ordering this test and that test. And then suddenly, it's followed by a dreaded diagnosis. Little did I know that less than a year ago, my life would be turned upside down with a diagnosis of stage 3 cancer. But for the healing grace of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I stand before you cancer-free today. By God's grace. Amen. But we never know. We never know when this can happen to us. It can happen to any one of us. Or we go into work and we find our position has been eliminated due to budget cuts. We come home to hear that our spouse wants a divorce. We get a phone call in the middle of the night and suddenly we're confronted with tragic news. Life is constantly changing, sometimes for the good, but sometimes for the bad. And in the midst of all of that change, there is much to be said for constancy, a truth that the psalmist learned well through his personal experience. The constancy of God is the overarching theme of Psalm 71. Read with me, if you will, Psalm 71, verses 1 through 14. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign or a wonder to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. Hallelujah. You know, although this psalm is not directly attributed to David, most Bible scholars do believe that it was written by King David. At the time of its writing, David is now old and gray, as he describes himself in verse 18. His circumstances in life have now changed dramatically. The story behind the writing of this psalm is very tragic. One of David's sons, Adonijah, leads an uprising against his own father to seize the throne of Israel. Just picture it. Here is David, who was chosen and anointed by God as a young man to be the king of Israel, to have an everlasting throne from which the scepter would not depart from his house. In his youth, he was a valiant warrior. celebrated by the people for leading Israel into victory over their enemies again and again. And as king, he led this young nation of Israel to the height of its strength and stability and economic power and military prowess. In the midst of building a kingdom, he deals with his own personal failure of committing adultery with Bathsheba and arranging for her husband to be killed to cover his sin. But he does repent and God forgives him. However, how many of you know that sometimes even though we repent and God forgives, there are consequences that do not go away? And God declared that the consequences for David's actions would be that the sword would never depart from his house. The pronouncement was fulfilled at first through Amnon, one of David's sons, who raped his sister Tamar, and then in revenge was killed by his half-brother Absalom, another of David's sons. Absalom became exiled from David for many years, but later on returned. But his father never dealt with the problem, and so Absalom conspired to overthrow his father and even to kill his father. It cost David in that uprising many men. It divided the nation, and it resulted in the death of his own son, Absalom. And now, in his old age, his son Adonijah is doing another power play. He's trying to seize the throne that has been promised to another of David's sons, Solomon. It seems that this terrible nightmare, the overthrow of his kingdom, the seizing of his throne, is repeating itself all over again in David's life. And you thought you had family problems? Just look at David, it'll make you feel better. David is now an old man and his heart is burdened. And David was well aware of the major failure of his past and the consequences of strife and turmoil that had been pronounced in his family and had been carried out among them and in his kingdom. And beneath the burden of a broken heart and a troubled mind, David looks once again to the Lord as his comfort. God had always been his refuge. And in Psalm 71, though it's only 24 verses long, it contains over 50 quotes or references to other psalms, to other writings of David. In the darkness of his circumstances, David begins to look over his lifetime, a lifetime of his experience with God. He sees the godly wisdom that he had acquired along the way, and he begins to piece it together in a beautiful mosaic of scripture that we find here in Psalm 71, which still today gives comfort to those in despair. The words of verse 14, "As for me, I will always have hope." Why could he always have hope? Because he knew a God that was unchanging. And we too can always have hope, regardless of what the circumstances in our life may be. Despite the fact that we may be in one of life's darkest moments, as David was, we too can find hope in an eternal and unchanging God. He is the constancy when everything else in life is changing. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. As we look to Psalm 71 this morning, let us find hope from what David learned about the Lord in the dark times of his life. The first thing I want us to see is that we can find hope in knowing that the Lord always, always, always stays the same. Folks, who he was in the sunshine is who he is in the rain. Who he was in the light is who he is in the darkness. Who he was in the time of health is who he is in the time of cancer or heart disease or lupus or MS or whatever else it might be. God remains the same. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Look at verses 5 and 6. "For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied upon you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God." I want you to see something here. David is telling us that the Lord is faithful through all seasons of life. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful through all seasons of life. David is pouring his heart out to God over the deep misery that he feels due to the betrayal of his son, the division of his family, and the devastation that it is causing among God's people, the nation of Israel. And in the midst of unimaginable suffering and pain, he praises God, which is the mark of true godliness. He says, I will ever praise you. Folks, if you praised him in the time of blessing, you need to praise him in the time of suffering. If you praised him in the time of health, you need to praise him in the time of sickness. If you praised him in the time of prosperity, you need to praise him in the time of leanness. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. And true godliness is manifest when your faith comes shining through in the darkest moments of life. How could David praise God in the time of despair? Because he looked back over his life and he remembered the faithfulness of God from the time that he was a youth. He saw God's hand throughout his entire life. God was there when he was a teenager and he wrestled with a lion and a bear and God delivered them into his hand. God was there, faithful to him, when he faced down and conquered the giant Goliath. God was there, and God was faithful to him when jealous King Saul had his armies hunting him down to kill him. God was there, and God was faithful to him as he led Israel in battle against nation after nation, and God gave them the victory again and again. God was there from the time that he was a youth singing songs of praise on the hillsides of Judea to now that he is an old man laying in his bed and cannot move about as he once did, but he still praises the Lord because he knows that God is faithful. Hallelujah. From birth to old age, no matter what David faced, he remembered that God had been faithful to bring him through. And if God did it then, God will do it now, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. What he did for you yesterday, he'll do for you today. Amen. He is faithful. He didn't bring you this far to abandon you. God remains constant no matter what changes in the world around us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that brings great comfort and strength to my heart. And we do find assurance in his word in verses like Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Your circumstances may change, he does not change. Your family may change. He does not change. Your health may change. He does not change. Your finances may change. He does not change. Hallelujah. The government may change. He does not change. The president may change. He does not change. Hallelujah. That brings great strength and comfort to my heart. Hebrews 13:8 tells us he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Folks, if he was healer in the pages of Scripture, he's healer today. If he was miracle worker in the pages of Scripture, he's miracle worker today. If he was deliverer in the pages of Scripture, he's deliverer today. If he was faithful to David back then he is faithful to his people today. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Amidst all of the variables in life, we can find great security in knowing that the Lord is always there, that he never changes, that regardless of what our circumstances might be or the outcome might be, he will always be there. He will always be there to help us, to rescue us, to heal us, to deliver us, to restore us. Just look back over your own life like David did. How have you seen God's grace and God's goodness manifest in your life? Folks, I actually have a journal where I have written down things in my life where I know that this was the hand of God. And sometimes when I'm going through a difficult time, I pull that journal out and I read the things that God has done for me. And I say, God, you were faithful to me there. You were faithful to me there. You were faithful to me there. And Lord, I praise you because I know that you will be faithful to me now as well. Hallelujah. No matter how brief a time you've been serving the Lord, I'm certain that you can find something to testify about of how God showed his love, about how God showed his goodness, about how God showed his compassion, about how God showed up for you in a time of need. Hallelujah. And folks, if he showed up for you then, he's not going to change now when you find yourself in the midst of trouble. He is not a fair-weathered friend. Hallelujah. He is a faithful God. Glory to his name. He has been faithful since the beginning of time, and he will remain faithful to you no matter what you go through. The Lord is faithful through all the seasons of life, youth to old age. Hallelujah. The Lord is righteous in all circumstances of life. In verse 2, David says, "In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me." And you say, what does righteousness have to do with hearing our prayer and saving us and delivering us? But five times in Psalm 71, David remembers the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God refers to his unfailing character. It refers to his true nature. The righteousness of God means that he is always right and he will always do what is right. No matter how things may seem from your vantage point, regardless of how chaotic or uncomfortable our circumstances may be, we can find comfort in knowing that God is always right and he will always do what is right in our lives. Hallelujah. God is perfect in all of his ways, another psalm says. He is perfect in all of his ways. I am reminded of the story of a man who was criticizing God's creation. And he complained, "You know, I think God just did everything backwards," he said. "Just look at how foolishly God did things. He placed a tiny acorn in a tree with a strong branch to support the small nut. But he put a heavy watermelon on a flimsy vine that can't even bear up its weight." He argued, "If I were God, I would have put the watermelon on the strong branch of the acorn tree. And I would have put the acorn on the weak little vine." He hadn't even finished his sentence when an acorn fell off the tree and hit him smack dab in the middle of his head. What if it had been a watermelon? You know, we may not be able to see or understand at the moment, because everything that we're going through may seem so wrong. But God is the God of all wisdom. And God is always right, and he always does the right thing. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. We can find great comfort in knowing that when we can't make sense of what is happening, we can't understand what we're going through, it seems so wrong, but God is always right, and God will always do the right thing for us. Hallelujah. We have a God who is trustworthy. We have a God who makes no mistakes. We have a God who is perfect in all of his way. And when life takes its twists and turns, we need to keep reminding ourselves, just like David did five times in this psalm, that God, you are always right. God, you make no mistakes. God, you know what you're doing. And God, you will do what is right for me. Hallelujah. Remind yourself of that when the devil is whispering lies into your mind. God is always right, and he will always do what is right for you. Hallelujah. Secondly, we learn from David that we can find hope in knowing that the Lord is a safe refuge. In verse 1, he says, "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame." The Lord will be a shelter to those who trust in him. See, David said, "I have taken refuge in him." See, that's faith. That's placing your faith in him. And he will be a shelter to those who trust in him. David, as a king and a powerful leader, was strong and self-reliant. He had led the nation of Israel into battle for many years. He had faced down a giant when no one else, the grown men in Israel, not even the king of Israel, was willing to step out and face down Goliath. But David, as a young boy, about 17 years old, with faith in the living God, was able to stand and face down and conquer the giant Goliath. He was able to lead Saul's armies to victory against their enemies time and again. He was hailed by the people as a mighty champion who had killed his tens of thousands. So David is certainly not a picture of weakness. But his own son and some of his closest confidants had turned on him, and his future was uncertain. Would he be killed? What would happen to his son Solomon, who was destined for the throne? Would they murder him? Would the nation he had worked so hard to build be suddenly destroyed? All of this that David was seeing made him feel insecure and vulnerable, which he expresses through this psalm. In verse 7, he says, I have become a sign or a wonder to many people. People are looking at him and they're wondering, look at this old man. What can he do? What's going to happen to him? I have become a sign or wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. David knew that the whole nation was watching to see what he would do, to see how he would respond and what would end up happening to him. Would the God that he had testified of, would the God that he had served all of these years show up for him? Would that God be faithful? David knew that they were watching. And in verse 2, he cries, rescue me and deliver me. Get me out of this, Lord. Miraculously intervene and stop this madness and return everything to the way that it was. Folks, we all go through trials. We all go through times where we feel weak, where the circumstances make us feel vulnerable, when otherwise we are generally strong people. But trials make us feel insecure. Trials make us feel weak. Trials make us feel helpless. Trials make us feel vulnerable and in need. Because trials show us how not in control of life we are. Come on now. Trials show us how not in control of life we are. And it shows us how much we need God. Amen, amen. Because He alone is the one who is in control of our life. Amen. If we trust in Him. Hallelujah. All of that uncertainty in changing circumstances makes us long for security. The need for shelter or refuge implies that there is trouble, that there is a storm, or there is an attack of the enemy. And in that time, David did not try to rely on his own strength or wisdom to get him out of this trouble. David knew where to turn in the time of storm, in the time of trouble, in the time of attack. This entire psalm is David's prayer. It's David turning to the Lord. It's David seeking refuge in the Lord. It's David seeking help from the Lord. You see, the only way that we will find shelter, safety, protection, and help in the time of trouble is if we do what David did. If we turn and seek the Lord in the midst of our trouble. It is only through prayer and praise that we learn to find refuge in the Lord. Praise reminds us of who God is and what He has done for us. Prayer pleads with God, to God for help now in our circumstance. So David, he was praising the Lord. And he was praying at the same time. And you see him kind of moving back and forth between prayer and praise. Folks, in the midst of trouble, we need to praise God. We need to remember who He is. We need to remember what He has done for us. Because that encourages and strengthens our faith. Now to pray and ask Him to help us. David, through his praise, remembered the faithfulness of God. Now he's praying and he's saying, I know You'll be faithful to me now. I know You'll come through for me now. We need to turn to the Lord and we need to seek Him in the midst of our trouble. And we need to cry out in prayer and we need to lift up our voice in praise. And when we do, we will find refuge in the Lord. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and faint not. Folks, if we did more praying, I think we'd do less fainting.
Amen. Amen.
What does it mean, faint? I'm not talking about, you know, passing out and dropping to the ground. We're talking about getting discouraged. We're talking about doubting. We're talking about giving up hope. We're talking about drifting away from God or turning back to the world and its comfort. Folks, if we did more praying, we would do less fainting because in prayer, we would find the help. We would find the strength. We would find the comfort. We would find the shelter. We would find the safety. We would find the refuge that we need. In the time of trouble. Another thing we learn from David, the Lord will not disappoint those who trust in him. David prays, let me never be put to shame. Don't let me down, God. And in verses 10 and 11, David says, I know my enemies are speaking against me and conspiring to kill me. And they are saying that God has forsaken me. But in verses 12 and 13, he prays, do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. David is saying, I'm not going to be put to shame, but God, you're going to put my enemies to shame. When you trust in God, folks, the Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall never be ashamed. They that trust in the Lord shall never be disappointed. Hallelujah. When you trust in God, he will come through for you. It may not be in your time, and it may not be in the way you expected, but he will never, ever disappoint those who trust in him. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. David calls God his rock. What is a rock? It symbolizes that which is steadfast, that which is stable, that which is the least changing. And he declares that he finds three things in God: deliverance, rescue, and salvation. And when we're talking about salvation, particularly in the Old Testament, we're not talking about particularly just the forgiveness of sins, but we're talking God coming in and rescuing, coming in and saving us from very real trouble, from the attacks of the enemy, from difficult circumstances. We can count on the Lord in the time of trouble. That's what David is telling us. He will be with us. He will strengthen us. He will sustain us. He will help us. And he will deliver us. If there's one thing you get in your spirit this morning, get this. You can count on the Lord. They that trust in the Lord shall not be ashamed. Hallelujah. God will come through for you. Amen. Where do we find hope and comfort? Where do we find strength and security to go through the times of trouble? Or even just to meet the daily demands and challenges, the ordinary obstacles that this sin-fallen world that is still under the power of darkness puts in our path. When I sang in a youth choir in my teenage years just a couple years ago, one of the songs we ministered was, I Go to the Rock. It's just not catching up with some of you. But one of the songs we ministered was, I Go to the Rock. And I love the words of that verse, of that song. It says, where do I go? Where do I go when the storms of life are threatening? Who do I turn to when those winds of sorrow blow? And is there a refuge in the time of tribulation? And the chorus says, I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. The Lord is a rock of my salvation. The Lord is the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. Hallelujah. Who do we go to? Who do we turn to when the storms are raging? We can go to the rock. Hallelujah. And that rock is not a little pebble. That rock is a mountain. Hallelujah. And that mountain will stand by us as the worship team comes back. Hallelujah. Folks, no matter what changes in our life, God remains the same. Amen. God remains constant. David said, when I was a youth, you were there. In my mid years, when I was fighting battles, you were there. Now in my old age, I know that you are still God and you are faithful. You will be there for me. Hallelujah. No matter what changes in our life, God remains the same. It gives us hope to know that he is faithful, to know that he is always right, and he will always do what is right for us. And no matter how strong the storm or how fierce the battle, we can find refuge when we turn to God in faith. And he will not disappoint us. He will come through for all those who put their trust in him. If you're going through trial right now, In a moment, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. And I want you at first just to praise God and remember how He has been faithful to you through the years. Remember how He has heard your prayer, how He has come through for you. Praise Him because He is righteous, because He is right, because He knows what He's doing, and He's will always do what is right. And then after you have praised Him and reminded yourself of who He is and what He has done for you, then call on Him in prayer. Place your trust in Him and say, come through for me now, God. Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank You right now. We want to thank You for Your Word. For it is life to our spirit, and it is strength to our soul. Father, we pray this morning that as Your Word has gone forth, that it would just encourage the hearts and lives of Your people this morning, that You would strengthen them in their inner man, that faith would arise afresh and anew in their soul to be able to turn to You and trust in You, no matter what the changes of life may be that they are facing, oh God, that they will know that they can trust in You, that they can find safety in You, and that they will not be disappointed in You, oh God. Father, I pray that You will minister to every heart here today, and that You will show up on behalf of Your people, oh God. Glorify Yourself in Jesus' name.